Christ. Another day. It's a cold and wintry day out here. A little bit of snow, but mostly just cold rain and really dark clouds. Anyway. becomes the sense of mission that when things need to happen, certain people can make things happen. And as any kind of mission tends to be, I don't know if it's a matter of prominence. I don't think it is. But it has to do with trust. How much you can trust that something can happen. And I've been pondering, but not a whole lot, because it just needs instruction, you know. Although pondering, I think, puts you in a state where you can get the instructions that you need. One of our most dire needs is that we need to stop losing youth. And people say, what youth are we losing? And you go, oh, shall I give you a list? It says, sadly, it's been over a large span of years, and most of these people are now adults, so that have nothing to do with the church. They have nothing to do with the gospel, have walked away or whatever. Not that regular church attendance is what's exactly sought. What we're seeking is what should go beyond that, which is work on the purposes of the Lord, alignment with His agenda. Aligning of what you do and what you think and of what you do, try and get things running. And so, you know, when people say it's all about church, church attendance and stuff like that, you go, well, really, at the end of the day, it isn't. But being at church is indicative of your commitment, which is hard to get people to to understand. And I'm sorry to say that I think a whole lot of the problem was that we were always so weird about what I would call the indicators, the warning lights, for lack of a thing. If you have a car, you get warning lights. And as you take care of the warning lights, everything works pretty good. You know, you get your car into the shop, you get things going again. Things like that. It's really hard to put this into, but yeah, it says going to church should just be something that isn't really the central purpose of it. It says, and I'm sorry to say that cultural Mormons, I particularly use the word Mormon in this case instead of Latter-day Saint, because it's indicative of something. Mormons show up to church every Sunday because they think God's going to smite them if they don't. And that having a good record of, you know, I've got 100% attendance at sacrament meeting. Whatever, fine. But what's more important is are the principles and it's not even about principles either particularly. You know, and the fact that you are taught them on a regular basis. The most important thing is what we hope to see ultimately. That's why I talk about the agenda of God and about what He's trying to accomplish and about how committed you are, us individually, as people are aligned and laboring to do these things, to get ourselves and those around us to exaltation. And to have little crises down here on earth is important. You know, the tracking of attendance is only important insofar as you can detect if somebody might be having problems. Almost all the activities we do at church, insofar as your local ward or branch is just warning lights and perfunctory getting things along. If all you're doing, you know, everybody says it, but they don't really explain beyond it. Well, you know, this isn't just a checkbox, and you're going, now that statement has become a checkbox euphemism. You know, well, I'm not just checking off the boxes. You're coming to church every Sunday, and you go, well, most Sundays. Okay. You know, are you doing what needs to be done? Are you, you know, even digging around in the scriptures? That's higher order stuff, but it's still not the thing that makes it happen. That makes you going out and doing what you need to do. We need to get past that. The whole thing of, I am accomplishing the agenda of God in my life and the lives of those around me to make this thing happen. You go, well, it's all about modesty. And you go, yes, but no. A modest person doesn't distract. Immodest dress, immodest activities are distractions from the agenda of God. We could tell you about that, and knowing the plan of salvation isn't the end in itself. It is to help you working the plan of salvation, actually doing what needs to be done to earn a better reward. And to help others earn the better reward. The funny thing is, as you help others do it, you tend to help yourself. Although, can I be honest, I'm just reading right now. I don't know if his name was Riplikish, but it was one of the kings of the Jaredites. He wasn't a righteous man himself. But he made sure his people were, or I don't know if he did, but he didn't school them. You know, every kind of sin invites company. And a lot of people work toward company. In the Book of Mormon, for instance, King Noah invited company. He wanted his people to sin to the level that he did, I think, to try to make him feel okay about the fact that he was sinning. If you have companionship in this, you feel better. And that's terrible, because you're actually not just destroying yourself. Which is one thing. It's like, if you feel this great need to destroy yourself, that's really your business. But it says you're influencing other people to destroy themselves. You know, I never said this was Cohen Meanderer and the recording, and I'm Jason Demero. Anyway, so that's not terribly important. What's terribly important is that there is this need to understand the agenda of God, and then there's the need to practice it and to encourage others to practice it as well. With the influence that we get, everybody has some influence over somebody. And it becomes a more important thing to be that kind of an influence. Sometimes a lot of the things in working the agenda of God are hard to see. Of course, you say, well, what's the agenda of God? It is having, it can't be single-minded, but pretty close. Effort to take advantage of the atonement of Jesus Christ, to make covenants with him. This is why the temple is so central. People need to go to the temple and do temple work and make this stuff happen. And first do it for themselves, make sure they've got their covenants, and then do it for other people. To make these things happen in a much more purposeful way. That's why I'm really glad that I get the opportunity weekly to go and do endowments. I'm working to help people get through this thing. It's tricky though, because I tell you, I said I don't get home until, you know, 11 o'clock at night usually. And on those nights, it's only once a week. But let me tell you, it's a tough row to hoe, but it's the one I can do after I get away from work after hours. It's not just going to the temple that's efficacious. It's what we do in the temple. It's the covenants that we make for ourselves and our for our kindred dead, especially. Who else is going to take care of our kindred dead but us? And you know, if you don't bring family work, you can at least do somebody's work. That's important. And these things all lead to the exaltation of us and those that we help through. These things are of vital importance, just as important as anything else. Making a living for your family. Now that's important. You need to do that. Because like anybody else, nobody else is going to do it for them. In fact, it's almost tempting. You know, I'm kind of a liberty guy, and I'm not into socialism. But if I were to trade off liberty in being able to have regular income to go to the temple and take people with me, that's what we should do. So that means I probably need to have my brain in such a place that I can go do I can acquire the Mormon fun bus. And I'm going to have the resources to make it happen. That's the important thing. Resources and stuff being done. I think today I might actually stay on the road. Oh, I don't know. I don't really want to mess with traffic. Clovis, although it's going to be a little wet and stuff like that, I don't think it's due to freeze hard like it is further north. And Tucumcari is just on the edge of that, so it's not a problem. Anyway, so we need to help these people come unto Christ. And I'm sorry, I'm dealing with a little with traffic, so I'm not being able to concentrate on what I'm saying. I think I've said, by and large, what I wanted to say. Oh, no. The absolute, we're right in the middle of teacher council right now. We've had one session, the one that's basically for other needs. And I'm thinking about that fun bus. And I'm thinking that I'm getting to the point to where I struggle with being tired. And I'm like, who should we put on the insurance for this vehicle? And I need to start talk with Scott Pay, because I'm thinking I need somebody like me who's like 5 seconds away from retirement. Says, and every weekend it needs to be going to the temple. Every weekend, like clockwork. If not more often. We don't have, see, we used to have quite a few retired people that would go on these trips. We don't right now. Most of them have either passed away or whatever. Lisa's really wonderful with this, so she needs to be on that insurance for that vehicle. We would need to run that dog into the dirt. It needs to fall apart. So let me think of what else we got going here. The roads are not bad up here, so I think I will take the back way. Except there's this one dicey spot. But I don't think it was a lot of precipitation. I just think it was kind of cold and could have been snowy. It's not snowy here. We're just for too far south. Anyway, so the agenda of God, which is the accomplishment of exaltation, which is becoming like God, having the life that God has. Boy, let me tell you, I was frustrated yet again. So many people use the euphemism of going home to God. And it's not terrible, but let me tell you, I struggle with it myself because I don't want people to get the impression that they're going back to, you know, it's like going off to summer camp. You have a really nice home. You have all your nice electronics and all your familiar things and your little trophies on the wall and things like that. And you go off to summer camp. And then when you come home from summer camp, you come back to the exact same thing. You know, I'm in my room. There's my trophies on the wall. There's my other stuff. And summer camp was almost like kind of a weird aberration. You know, it's just a little vacation from your normal doings. What our earth life is not a vacation from some other existence. We finally taught people that they live before they were born and that they will live after they die, and they all say, oh yes, I love Heavenly Father so much. He's so nice to us, and he's like that. I said, oh no, it's true. But there's a larger purpose to it. It says we need to progress here. This is a springboard of sorts. I used to have I used to be something of a swimmer. I was never really a diver, but as part of certain swimming things, I was getting a certification to be a lifeguard when I was in California. I was a young guy. I was really advanced in swimming though. But I went to New Mexico where swimming is not a thing. And so that was just lost. But it really has to do with the height of the diving board that you have. You know, some people wouldn't even use a diving board. They just kind of crawl in the water. Those aren't very impressive people. Then there's kind of the short board, you know, the one that's stocked with, or at least with a lot of swimming pools back in the day. I don't know if many swimming pools have diving boards now. I think it's not really a thing anymore. But public swimming pools usually have a low board, which almost everybody can be okay with. And they've got a high board, which is probably about 15 or 20 feet from the surface of the water. And it's made for competitive diving. And, you know, you're supposed to do, you could call them tricks on the way down, you know, or you're doing flips or you're doing jackknives or, you know, I really don't know any of that. I was 7 years old when I got out of it. I didn't get back into it. Anyway, so it really is the act of diving. And being good at diving, you know, everything could be a cannonball in your life, but if you do a cannonball from that 20-foot thing, it's going to hurt. Or if you do what's called a belly flop, that's really going to hurt a lot. And so you're not considered a professional if you don't do that. And that's really what comes of these different degrees of glory you can go to. You know, if you're not willing to really put forth particular effort, you can just jump in the pool and you don't have to jump in the deep side. The only purpose for the deep part of the pool at most public pools and why they're right under that really high platform diving setup is that when you dive from those heights, you sink a lot further, and that's why you have that deep side. That's why they have a rope across that and the shallow side to keep you guys out of the shallow side. It's because you have no business being there. There's no swimming going on in that section. There's other sections of the pool for swimming lanes, and most pools today are just of that sort. You know, there's not much diving going on. To add the diving accoutrements costs a bit of money, and most people just opt not to, you know. And the short diving board, it also needs extra depth so that you don't break a leg doing some crazy dive off of there and hit the bottom of the swimming pool. Anyway, so really depends on what you want to do, you know. And I don't mean to be cocky, and I'm not, I hope I'm not, but there's a certain amount of professional divers kind of don't really associate much with your common everyday, I'm just playing around in the water and it's fun kind of people that approach life that way, as if it's just a game. For these guys, it's a serious sport that if you don't take it seriously, you're going to get hurt at the very least, and you may drown and die. Water's a tricky, tricky thing. If you just stay in the kiddie pool, you know, you'll usually be okay. You can drown in the kiddie pool too, but you've got to work at it. Anyway, so that's what we're doing, where we're trying to instigate professional divers, springboard divers. And for another analogy, there's going to be 1,000 analogies, which is great. One of them has bound to connect with people somehow, with one individual or another, to say, you know, don't you want to rise to a higher level? Being like God takes effort and mostly sacrifice and consecration. Consecration of time, consecration of your resources. Whoa. Okay, we made it. Oh, here we go. So, anyway, you also have to have a bit of a desire. It's not a cocky desire, because let me tell you, if you get cocky about it, you kind of lose the race there. It's getting yourself to a position to where you can serve at that level. You can do what needs to be done. Everybody's always waiting for somebody else to do the bulk of the work for them. Well, I can't do this because this hasn't happened. And this hasn't happened. You know, I need to get a temple recommend, but I can't make it into church. And you go, if it was important to you, you'd find a way. And it's like, and you go, yeah, this is, do you see the fact that God is not very impressed with what you're trying to do to serve him? Oh, yeah. You go, yeah, well. I don't know where the fog lights are on this. Oh, is it this one? What? What does that mean? Oh, that's what that... Oh, I got it. Yeah. Good. Not really foggy, but doesn't hurt to have them on today. Hi. You know, I never figured that out. I'm just getting to it now. Full utilization of your materials. So, try to get people to look at it in that sort of a fashion. And to say, yeah, everything in your life, including raising a family, which is vital for this, is good. Now, can you still make it without it? Technically, yes, you can. But is it harder? Oh, yes. You will have to go out and serve much more vitally in larger settings where, for the most part, you would mostly be working with yourself and your children to try to get everybody to the celestial realm and beyond. A ceiling is very important. Too many people, I think, are taking the edge of, well, it's okay, and they say that as long as I'm keeping the commandments, I'm being a good person, that no blessing will be denied me. You go, you know what? I don't think eternal life is a, quote, blessing. It is a commitment by covenant. So be careful. When things are said a certain way, know that they might not be saying what you think. Some people come back and go, well, you know, it's okay. He says, I'll get married when I'm back in, you know, after I'm dead, and I don't have all these problems that I have in life. And you're going, it doesn't work like that. He says, now, you know, that doesn't mean that they can arrange for a sealing to be done by those who are on an earth in immortality, that this can be done for two people they've never heard of that are being kind of put together because they met and decided to join together up there. I'm not saying that can't be done. But if you think it's going to be a wonderful thing of, oh, there's somebody up there who's going to love me in that special, wonderful way. And you go, you know what? I don't know that. It may just be one of the kind of ceilings that they had down here where you were sealed to one of the general authorities, to one of the apostles or to the prophet. And that it anticipates nothing. You know? I mean, you know, this is where you get your linked chain to exaltation is through Joseph Smith. And you go, yes, Joseph Smith has thousands of wives, perhaps. Now, everybody, when they think about wives, they think about kinky sex and stuff like that. and a lot of kissing and hugging. I don't think so. It doesn't have to be that way. And in those kinds of circumstances, there's a reasonable expectation that it just might not be. So, anyway, I'm thinking about the Mormon Fun Bus again. I'm also thinking about that I'm hearing a sound over here. I don't know if it's just the way the wind's whistling. It could be. On this vehicle. I pray always that this vehicle will continue running all right, because I don't really have time to have it put in the shop. But yeah, I may need to be the one to just go out and get a Mormon Fun Bus, because I'm not gonna need it, and to take it on trips and such. But I need to know who to add. Who needs to be on the insurance? You know, it says I may need to pass this off to somebody else who's got the resources. I do now. And, this is certainly a work of the Lord stuff that could do it. I got rid of it after a while because it seemed like it wasn't necessary for my family size, and, the branch didn't need it. But I put it to good use in the past. Anyway, so we're doing good. You know, one of the problems is we aren't really explaining this very well. We constantly use euphemisms, and we constantly our Sunday school, well, you know, our old Sunday school lesson manuals were cute, but they didn't tie in everything. They all say, well, it needs to tie into Jesus Christ. And you go, yes, but it needs even more to tie into the why of Jesus Christ and our part in it. That's just as vital. Everybody makes like the highest thing to do is to do favors for Jesus Christ. You know? Well, I don't sin so I don't cause Jesus any more pain. And you go, well, that's good. That's good. But there's a reason why you don't need to be sinful. Beyond just the punishment phase. Jesus, more than anything else, was guiding you toward exaltation. That's where he went. I can't say beyond all else, because it's very important that you had to know that he was the guy that was solving all, that was taking care of all these things, that was making the way clear for us to move forward, and that we're following him. Everything else is really of no intrinsic value when it gets right down to it. So anyway, yes, it says it even goes to that point. Why did Jesus Christ do what he did? He did it because his Father told him to, we know that, and because he was working God's agenda. I get too stuffy really quickly. That's kind of where all this stuff goes. And that's what enduring to the end is. You know, when people talk about enduring the end, you go, oh yeah, you're just kind of putting in your time on earth. And you go, well, what are you doing with that time? So are you trying to bring souls to Christ? Are you trying to accomplish that work? So that's important. That's vital. That's what needs to be done. Do it for yourselves, and then do it for your kindred dead. Do it for others, too. But let me tell you, it has more to do with doing it for your kindred dead. Now, is everybody our kindred dead? Yeah. Everybody's a cousin. And we're all brothers and sisters from that standpoint. I was trying to get people to that point. It's not your perfect attendance record at church. It's not any of those things. It says these are just helps. The church itself, if you only access it like a Sunday morning Protestant, you're only getting one aspect of the church. The one that most Christians see, which is,
we have kind of a community and we have fun times together and it's all very nice.
And you go, yeah, this is, so I think that on some level these things can be detrimental. Have your kids in community activities. But definitely have those kids inviting them and saying, I'm going, you need to come meet our bishop. It says, and that bishop needs to be laser focused on getting people to the temple. It says, I'm all about getting people to the temple. It says, now I'm in charge of the money too. It says, because we really need to make sure that it stays on target. So, there is that. And make use of that vehicle to take care of souls. That's what it's there for. If I could teach Matt to be a good driver, that would be amazing. He would be a real sizable asset that way. But I don't think other people would trust them with their lives. And that's distraction. All right. So that's what we need to do. Get ourselves back to having a good passenger van and use it for several purposes. That would be good, but the primary reason for its existence is this is it. I think I've still got a few more curves to take. That's okay. It's already 7? Oh, I'm behind schedule. For me, I hope this is, I'm pretty close. I think I am. I see something flashing up there that might be the base. Okay. Well, that's all I got to say. This is the most important thing is to understand the vitality of eternal life. Know that you're going to be spending a lot of time shuttling kids from here to there. People that need to come and go pretty readily. I need to get another one of either one of the bench seats or the one with those captain's chairs that we used to have. We had a 9-passenger van. And that took a pretty good group of people. But I think we'd probably do better with we'll just have to see what's available out there and go ahead and buy it. And, I don't know, maybe I can get somebody to go pick it up for me. Kind of a pain in the butt. Well, let's get Lisa to do it. You know what? No, the flight over. You know what? It's just cheaper to have it shipped. To have some call hauler bring it. So anyway, I should bring that up to Brenna Jelaine. It seems like that she needs something a little more interesting. Yeah. I should bring it up to her. It might work well for her situation as much as it works well for mine. I should do that. Oh. okay, I'm here at my destination. I'm going to go ahead and stop. Talk to you later. Bye.